ITS Coffee Break for Friday, November 19th, 2010.
On this week's edition of the ITS Coffee Break, surprise, we're back! We'll talk about some new IT news that we have going on with an iPad pilot and an introduction to the new Lafayette website. We also have some Moodle updates, and we'll just all around let you enjoy hanging out with Ken and I for a change.
Welcome to the ITS Coffee Break. My name is Ken Nyquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley.
And we're back from the almost dead.
Yeah, it's been quite a long time.
So we thought we actually had one recorded earlier this semester, but we were totally wrong. We haven't done this since May.
Yeah, which is just unbelievable. But
we've had an unbelievably busy summer.
It has been busy. So it's good to be back. And there's been a lot going on. And we're not going to bore you with everything, but, you know, kind of hit the highlights,
Yeah. Some
of the stuff that's been going on. I guess the one thing that really consumed us last semester was the new Lafayette website redesign.
Yeah, it's all bright and shiny and new. And I got to say, we haven't really delved in too deeply into all the like nuts and bolts of how we put it together. But I think the thing that's been coolest about how we did the site wasn't just, oh, okay, we're going to do a new site, so we'll come up with some designs. Okay, that looks kind of pretty. Let's go with it. We actually did testing. So, you know, we had high school students come in and try the site and run through some tasks. We had standard tests that we were doing. We actually used data to drive a good chunk of the site, and we're continuing to do that now. So we have much better Google Analytics running. You know, we can tell you exactly how many people click on the offices and resources link at the top. So when somebody comes to us and says, hey, I really think you should do this, we can say, well, wait a minute, let's think about this for a second. Should we look at the analytics? They might tell us, you know, okay, well, is somebody clicking on this footer link? Somebody can come to us and say, you know, I'd like to add this. Okay, well, we can do that. Let's see how it works. We'll do some usability testing with high school students and see if they're actually able to do things better after we make this change.
Yeah, so it's an exciting time that it's a whole new sort of, I hate to use the word paradigm, but it's a whole new way of sort of operating around here that's very exciting. And, you know, I think the other cool thing out of the project is that IT and communications division have been working very closely. And I think that it definitely continues on.
Yeah, there's actually, just in case people are wondering, there's a small committee that's basically responsible for the care and feeding of the website. So there's two people from IT, that would be myself and Jason Alley, and then there's two people from communications division, which would be Dave Block and Erwin Annalise. And we meet, we've been meeting a ridiculous amount because we have a couple of big projects going on. But we typically meet like once every 2 weeks and just kind of go over issues that have come up and stuff. And I think it's been really good. I think it's been a much healthier kind of approach to how to do the website.
Absolutely. And so future changes that you'll see coming in the next few months are a new theme for the departmental sites. So a lot of work went on when was that? Leading up to...
You mean the WW2 retirement?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
so all of the departments and organizations and things moved over to WordPress as well. And we're using a theme, and so now there's a new theme coming that'll align those more closely with the new site. So that's exciting.
Yeah, so I mean, there'll be some changes on sites. It won't be anywhere near as disruptive or as time-consuming,
right,
I think, as the WW2 migration, because you were taking your site from... It's like moving from one house to another house.
Right.
This is more like, I don't know, maybe repainting the exterior, putting up some new shutters, and, you know, making sure everything works. Like, making sure your house is up to code, right?
I mean,
you might have some tweaks here and there, but it's not nearly as painful as actually trying to move to a new house. So.
Yeah, definitely. So another exciting project that we have going on is an iPad pilot.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to say, I have been coveting an iPad for a long time. I won't say it's perfect, but I will say it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's exciting for me because I've been meeting on a pretty regular basis with the IT advisory and library advisory committees, and they are actually the people on campus who have iPads. So there are 12 of them, and it includes 4 students. And then we also have some people in IT who have them, and I actually have two loaners that I'm able to loan out for 2 and 3 weeks at a time.
Nice.
And so that's exciting to like get it in people's hands and let them kind of live with it. Because I really find that, I don't know about you, Ken, but I really find that the iPad is the kind of device that you have to actually live with it. You have to like go ahead and set it up and dive in and try and use it.
Because I mean, the initial criticism was, well, it's just a big iPhone. It's just a big phone. Like, no, it is a tablet. And I think some of the problems come when it doesn't behave as a tablet, like, or your expectations aren't matched with what it's actually doing.
Right.
And it is a computer at the same time, but I think it's much more of like an appliance. It's closer to my Xbox.
Right.
Right. And it is, or even your phone, like your phone does a lot of different things, but it's a tablet appliance, you know, and it's good for the things that you might want to do. That you would want to have at handy. I mean, I think it's been really nice to go to meetings and be able to jot down some quick notes. And, you know, you pull up a website and you twirl the iPad around and go, hey, this is what I'm talking about. That part's been really cool. It's also been cool to be able to walk around campus and not haul my laptop.
Absolutely. Yeah, so people who are listening who are here on campus may have seen different faculty show up to meetings with iPads, and it actually makes me very excited when I look out the window and see one of the faculty members hauling their iPad around, because I think it's leading to some, you know, kind of unexpected conversations, which is what we hoped that the pilot would do for us.
Yeah, I think, and that is one of those things, like we were talking about, I think Nate Swart, our new web applications developer, that would be another addition, right? So we have we've had some changes in staffing, but in any case, Nate and I were talking about this, or maybe Jason and I were talking about this, about there are certain devices that come along and they actually encourage people to talk about technology. I think the iPod was like this.
Right.
iPhone maybe to a lesser extent, but they're so different. They're so transformative that people just need to see it, touch it,
right,
to really get it. And it also encourages them to ask, because you'll be in the Cosmic Cup and people will walk up to you and go, that you don't even know, and say, oh, is that an iPad? Right? You know, I mean, that's netbooks were another one. Like, you have this teeny tiny computer,
right,
and you would be working at a, you know, airport or something, and somebody would come up to you and say, hey, wow, I've never seen a computer that small, you know? So.
Yeah, so it's very cool. There is actually, we have a site, a blog, on sites.lafayette.edu/iPad. Trying to make it easy for people. But it's very cool because a lot of the pilot participants are blogging their experiences and talking about different apps and cases. And so it's exciting to see that happen. And
I thought it was really cool. I mean, when I went there, I will be honest, I wasn't expecting to see more than like 3 posts, 2 of them by you.
Yeah, well.
And there's actually a lot of posts on there. I mean, you got like Neil McElroy posted there, right?
Right. Polly Piergiovanni, Tom Neuster, Bianca Falvo, Therese Heidenwolf. Yeah. So we're hoping that people will, that really this is just the beginning of it. So we're hoping to, you know, collect some interesting experiences. Polly actually took hers to a conference. She left her laptop and everything at home and just took her iPad and a thumb drive with her presentation on it.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So it's going to be cool to sort of explore with them sort of how mobility has the potential to shape education and to shape sort of our daily lives.
Yeah. So I guess we can talk a little bit about the apps that we've liked so far. We're not going to have a news section on this particular podcast because we didn't find any news.
So here is your news.
Yeah. I mean, the things that I've liked is Goodreader, which is for viewing PDFs. I think there's actually another one out there. I haven't tried it yet.
And actually, Goodreader, not only will it do PDFs, but you can actually open DocX files. You can open text files,
oh, really?
Audio, video. So it actually lets you view more than...
It will also let you annotate the PDFs, from what I understand. I haven't actually tried that
yet. Yeah, I saw that too.
The only problem I've encountered with PDFs, I have a lot of like game PDFs and stuff like that. And the problem that you'll run into is with fonts. And
right.
I think it has something to do with the way that they're creating the PDFs and not properly embedding the fonts. I don't know if it's so much Goodreader as it is the way the PDF.
Right.
Knowing what I know about encapsulated PostScript, it would not surprise me that people just aren't producing the PDFs correctly. But
right.
The Pages, I think, is actually a fairly decent word processing app. I wouldn't want to write a book or even a long email on the iPad, but in terms of just being able to jot down notes very quickly, it's been pretty handy.
Yeah.
The only complaint I have is that I have Mobile Me, and I can't just open documents from my iDisk, like a local version of my iDisk on the iPad. You have to copy it down from your iDisk, and you have to copy it back, which is just kind of a pain in the butt. It's like, Apple, come on.
Yeah.
You could do better than this.
Well, they'll probably support it. you know, in the next rev. You know what I've been actually using for notes is an app called Evernote.
How is that? Because we talked about that back in the day, right?
Yeah, I actually like Evernote. I know that I'm not using it to its fullest extent, but what I am do, what I currently do, my workflow, is that I have Evernote on my work computer and also on the iPad. And so basically I take notes on the iPad when I'm in meetings so that when I get back to my desk, it's already there on my desk because it's in the cloud and it just gets, it's totally in sync back and forth.
That's pretty cool.
And so it's very nice. I've limited it just to work. So I don't, for instance, have it on my iPhone so that I can keep the grocery list in sync. But it is a thought.
Right. That would be pretty cool.
So actually I'm thinking about setting up another account that's a home account so that my husband and I can both have it on our phones and keep the grocery list in sync. Because there is nothing worse than getting to the grocery store and not being able to remember what it is you needed.
That's true. That's
particularly true. With a baby now. It's like, what was that I needed?
So I have to ask, since you mentioned the baby, when the iPad came out, I thought this would be perfect for...
Photos!
Trying to walk around the house with a baby in one hand and an iPad in the other. Does that work? Because the laptop, it's a pain in the butt.
I do it with my phone more than my iPad.
That's true.
I have balance problems with the iPad, but...
I can see that.
But yeah. I mean, I've gotten a lot of mileage out of the Kindle app recently because one of the assignments for the pilot group is to look at either a book, a magazine, or a week's worth of newspapers. And we didn't limit it to what app they should use or anything like that. So people are using iBook, people are using Kindle. I'm using Kindle because the book was cheaper.
Right.
Yeah, it's very cool because I can actually lay in bed in the middle of the night and read my book on my phone. And then when I get into work and want to keep reading, it picks right up on my iPad.
That is pretty cool. The one thing I noticed with the Kindle, though, with the pricing, it's kind of odd, right? So I wanted to buy the science fiction book called The New Space Opera 2. It was actually cheaper to get it in paperback than it would be to get in the Kindle edition.
Yeah, well, and the prices fluctuate, too. So when I bought the book, it was $9.99, and now it's like $11-something.
Huh.
So I don't really understand the whole fee model, and to some extent it feels like...
They don't either.
They don't either. But, you know, it's working well for me. I thought that I would try it, and then I'll try iBook for the next thing I want to do.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I definitely want to try reading it. I think I may, for maybe my Thanksgiving reading, I'll if I get a chance, since we have a new puppy coming. But in any case.
Because you'll be up at night, too.
That's right. I'll be up at 4 in the morning taking care of my new puppy. Let's see. Any other iPad-ish type things you want to talk about? I mean, I guess we'll probably revisit this in future podcasts because it's on our calendar now.
It is.
We're blocking out time on Fridays, guys.
Be excited. Yeah, no, I think that's a good start. But, you know, I just encourage people to go and take a look at what's there on the iPad Pilot site.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So moving on from the iPad, the big Moodle news, which I know everyone is waiting for, is exactly when the spring 2011 course load will happen. That will be December 8th. And then the winter enrollments, these would be the student enrollments, will actually then be happening on December 8th as well. So
those of you who like to work ahead, you'll be able to work ahead beginning December 8th.
Right.
So
and I think we're looking at January 19th for the spring course enrollments. Earlier if possible, but
yeah, I think it's sooner than that. We probably should have looked the date.
Yeah, we'll double check. But
actually, I'll be posting it to the Moodle site. I hope to have had it done already, but we'll go Monday.
Details are coming.
We'll go Monday.
Other event, we have actually a couple of cool events coming up. So we have a Moodle Hack Doc at Furman. This is when we get together and beat up on Moodle, write code. And the big thing we'll be doing this year is looking at Moodle 2. This is the new and improved version of Moodle that should be coming out sometime in the next year. But there's a lot of changes that are happening with it. So what we want to do is get together with a bunch of the other colleges and basically look at this and come up with an idea of when we might want to run with it. And it's a pretty serious upgrade. So we need to figure out exactly the best way to go about upgrading it. And I think the awesome thing is we've got 24 other schools that we're working with on this project. So it's nice to have friends.
It does make a difference. Other events that we have going on, there's actually what I think is probably going to be a pretty cool brown bag. It's going to be a little over my head, potentially. John Fulton has a guy named Richard Kruder, I think is how you say it, coming in to talk about MongoDB. So this is basically the database engine that runs things like Etsy and Foursquare and a lot of those common, or what we perceive as common now, applications. So he'll be here on November the 29th, which is a Monday.
Mm-hmm. That's a Monday after Thanksgiving, right?
Yes. And so he'll be here doing a brown bag at lunchtime here in the library, and he'll also, I think, be talking to a class and some other
people. I think he's going to be talking to a couple of IT folks as well. Yeah. So it's going to be pretty cool. I mean, basically the idea here is that it's part of the NoSQL movement, which is basically getting away from using SQL. And the idea is that it scales better so that, things like WordPress, Moodle, Drupal, they're all using MySQL on the back end as a standard tool. But the problem is that when you start scaling big, and when we're talking big, we're talking like eBay big and Twitter big, or Etsy big,
right.
You've got millions upon millions upon millions of rows, and you need some way of being able to easily query those. And MySQL doesn't necessarily scale to that. It can, but it can be very slow. You can have all kinds of weird join problems, and you have to jump through a lot of hoops in order to actually get it to work, where you set up like these mother-daughter databases where, reads are going from one database, inserts are going into another database, and you have to have a whole server farm to pull this off. Mongo is to basically try to get around that and come up with something that's a lot easier to scale. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
So hopefully you'll bring your lunch and join us. We also have quite a few, what I see is quite a few, but we've got some workshops going on. We've got things on Excel. We had a Photoshop one today. So we're sort of rounding out the end of the year with some workshops. And hopefully next time we meet to do coffee break, I will have the January schedule.
Ooh.
So we're hoping to add some new things and try a couple of new ways of doing training on this campus. So hopefully we'll have some more updates for you next time.
So we would love to hear comments, heralding our return to podcasting. You can email us at ITS. Oh, wait a minute. What is it? ITSblog@lafayette.edu. Wow. It's been so long. I don't actually remember. When was the last time we even checked that email address?
I don't know.
Probably 6 months ago. Anyway, that's it for now. And hopefully we'll see you soon.